I am not now, nor have I ever been a person that is against the Jewish people's faith, for it is God who revealed to them and sent them prophet after prophet. And as a Muslim, we respect all of the prophets that were sent to the children of Israel, and we believe in the scriptures that they brought.
That's the Reverend Louis Farrakhan. He's leader of the Nation of Islam. What is the Nation of Islam? Is it a Christian organization? Is it a Muslim organization? What's the relationship between the Nation of Islam and Islam? Are its beliefs, I mean, is it going to be something that will compare to Islam and its beliefs? What are the particulars? And what is the appeal of the Nation of Islam, especially to young black men? All of that sounds so good. It's a religion that wants peace with all other religions, with Judaism. We'll hear a little bit more from the Reverend Louis Farrakhan later in the hour. And we'll answer all those questions about the Nation of Islam during this hour of Issues, Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll be responding to your phone calls and your emails for the next 2 hours as we talk with Dr. Jerry Buckner about the Nation of Islam. Our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. Our in-studio email address is issuesetc@kfuo.org. Email us a question or a comment via that email address, and we'll get that question in as our conversation with Dr. Jerry Buckner proceeds. issuesetc@kfuo.org. Dr. Jerry Buckner is a regular guest here on the program. He's pastor of Tiburon Christian Fellowship. He is adjunct professor at Golden Gate Baptist Seminary and director of Contending for the Faith Ministries. He's authored an article in the Christian Research Journal titled Witnessing to the Nation of Islam. Dr. Buckner, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Brother Todd, it's a pleasure to be on your program again. I look forward to the interview.
Two basic questions to begin with on the Nation of Islam. One, is it a Christian organization?
Well, Todd, that's a good question. Even though they call themselves Christian, they are neither Christian nor Muslim. They are a black racist cult that denies all of the tenets of the historic Christian faith. They don't believe in the Trinity, the deity of Christ, the bodily resurrection, the atonement, the parousia, the second coming of Jesus Christ. And so they cannot be called a bona fide Christian, nor can they be a bona fide Muslim, because the Muslim world look at them as a mockery. So they shouldn't even use the name of Nation of Islam. They should be using the name Black Organization or Black Racist Organization, because that's what they represent.
So how is the Nation of Islam different from mainstream Islam?
Well, that's a very good question, Todd, and I think that they differ from Orthodox Islam in many different ways. Some interesting points I'd like to bring out with that. If you were to put together a chart on the left side dealing with the Nation of Islam, you would have to say that the leader of the Nation of Islam was a white man who started the movement back in the 1930s by the name of Wallace D. Fard. He was the founder of it. When you're dealing with Orthodox Islam, you're dealing with the Muhammad who started it back in the 7th century. And many scholars have even said that he's white as well, because even though they don't mention that in the Quran, it's mentioned in the Hadith, which is additional writings of the Quran. The Nation of Islam believe in many different types of gods. Matter of fact, all of the black males in the Nation of Islam can become black gods, so they believe in black polytheism. In Orthodox Islam, you're talking about one God who is called Allah, but that God is different from the God of Christianity. And you can go on and on and on and talk about some more things in terms of this chart. And when you talk about the Nation of Islam, it is an openly racist organization. They believe in black supremacy and that the black man is superior to the white man. when you're dealing with Orthodox Islam, they are even racist themselves, even though they say that they're not. But if you go to the Sudan over there, you'll see that they still have slaves over there. And in the Hadith, they refer to black people as raisin heads, and they said that it's an evil omen to date a black woman. So those are some of the differences, and both deny that Jesus is God in human form and the only savior of the world. And even though the Orthodox Muslim believe in a resurrection and a hereafter, the Nation of Islam believes that once you're dead, that's it. The only person that's alive is Elijah Muhammad, who's going around somewhere on a flying saucer somewhere where they can't find him.
So to say it quite simply, many of the specific beliefs of the Nation of Islam are quite strange. Let's start with this concept you've mentioned here several times already about the polytheism in the Nation of Islam. Tell us about it.
Well, that's a good question, Todd. They believe, like the Mormons, but they have reversed it. The Mormons believe in anybody who's baptized into the Mormon temple can become a black god, and they can have goddesses. And the Nation of Islam believes in black polytheism. I was talking to Norman Geisler one time, and he had asked me a question about the Nation of Islam, and I used the word black polytheism, and he was really touched by that. So they believe in many different types of black gods. Matter of fact, at one time, there was a council of 24 black scientist gods who wrote history. One of them acted as God, while the others do the work of getting the future together for the Nation of Islam. So the black men are themselves referred to as being God. So they teach that you can become gods, just like the Word Faith teachers and the New Age movement and Hinduism. So they fall all into that category, too. That's why they cannot be defined as Christian.
So how should we understand when we hear leaders of the Nation of Islam, like Louis Farrakhan, refer to Allah? What should we understand there? Where does Allah, this supposed God, hold a place in the Nation of Islam?
Well, that's a very good question, Todd. When they talk about Allah, they are redefining what the Allah is of Orthodox Islam. They are not talking about the same God, nor are they talking about the God of Christianity. There was a guy who by the name of Wallace D. Ford, he lived in the 1930s, and he came to the black community in Detroit and was selling silk and all that stuff and was addressing the issues of racism. And he was a white savior to the people at the time, because at that particular time, they a lot of the blacks was experiencing a lot of racism, and they were also experiencing the depression during that time. So this guy came at the right time, and he started talking about that he was God incarnate in the flesh. And then he was influenced by also Judge Franklin Rutherford, who was the second president of the Jehovah's Witnesses. So he learned from him how to go door to door into homes and that sort of thing. And he started saying that he was God incarnate in the flesh, and the only savior of the world, and that Christianity is the white man's religion, and that is racist. And in reality, Todd, the Christianity is not the white man's religion. It is a Jewish religion that started off, and it reached out to all people, because God told Abraham through his seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. And so Christianity was started by a Jewish leader who was not racist. And Wallace D. Fard, he was racist. He was a white man. He told the black people and brainwashed them that they were gods and that they were superior than the white race. One time I was at a BART station one time talking to a member of the Nation of Islam. He had a Final Call magazine. And I asked him the question. I said, what nationality was Wallace D. Fard? And he got so mad with me, he got semi-catatonic, so stiff, and he says, why are you asking a question like that? I said, why are you getting so defensive about asking the question about your God? I said, you can ask me a question infinitum acknowledgium about my God, and I'll answer it. And he says, well, he was black and he was white. I said, well, that means then that he was part black and then part devil if he was white. And he started to punch me, but because I'm a pretty big guy, decided to go the other way.
So is it taught and believed in the Nation of Islam? We've got about 1 minute here before the break. That Wallace D. Fard was, in fact, God incarnate?
Yes, definitely they teach that he was God incarnate. They got the ideas from Christianity because just like Muhammad in the 7th century was discipled by a lot of radical, liberal Christians, so-called Christians, I would say, at the time, who distorted the teachings of the Bible. Wallace D. Fard was also discipled by people who really didn't know the Bible, and he started looking at the ideas that Jesus was God from John 1:1, where it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So he took that idea, referred to himself as God, and then started using some of Christianity along with the Quran to deceive the people.
Dr. Jerry Buckner is our guest. We're talking about the Nation of Islam this evening on Issues, Etc. Our call-in number, if you have a question or a comment on the Nation of Islam and members of the Nation of Islam, will get top priority in our callers. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. And we have that in-studio email address for your questions and comments as well. IssuesETC@KFUO.org. The number again, 1-800-730-2727.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
If you're a talk radio junkie like me, you might assume that the programming is free. Commercial advertisers pay for the production costs and staff salaries. Well, that's true for most talk radio shows, but not for Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you to pay the production salaries and airtime costs for this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin asking you to prayerfully consider making a financial gift to Issues, Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You can donate by credit card, 1-800-737-0172, or you can donate by check. Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Remember, unlike other talk radio shows, Issues, Etc. needs your financial support. We depend upon you for the continuation and expansion of Issues, Etc.
Next week on Issues, Etc., we're going to take up the subject of divorce with Dr. David Adams of Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Is there a relationship between gay marriage and heterosexual divorce? Is divorce ever, in any circumstance, God's will? And why does God say in Scripture, I hate divorce? We'll talk about it next week on Issues, Etc. Dr. David Adams will be our guest. Now, if you'd like to know what we're going to be discussing on the program for the weeks ahead, click on the upcoming shows section of our website, issuesetc.org. And while you're there at the website, be sure to find out more about Christ Academy 2005 coming this summer at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's a 2-week residential program for high school-aged men where they experience seminary life. It's Christ Academy 2005. Look for the logo right there on our homepage, issuesetc.org. We're talking about the Nation of Islam. Dr. Jerry Buckner is our guest. Dr. Buckner, you mentioned at the outset of our conversation that the Nation of Islam, although it often passes itself off as and is misunderstood to be a Christian organization, has no teaching like Orthodox Christianity of the Trinity. What do they make of the Christian teaching of the Trinity?
Well, that's a very good question, Todd. They basically say that the Trinity is a heretical teaching like the Jehovah's Witnesses say. They say that there is no such thing as a Trinity because it's blasphemy for God to have a son. There's no way that he could have had a son. And, you know, the Orthodox Muslims say the same thing as the sin of shirk. So they say that that's no way that could have happened. But the Bible does teach that he had a son and that his son claimed to be one with the Father. and that you are dealing with one God who is revealed in three distinct persons who are called Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you don't have to be a great logician to know that, because in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6 and 4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." 1 Timothy 2 and 5 says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And then we know that the Father was called God from Galatians 1 and 1. The Son was called God as well from John 1 and 1 and verse 14 and John 8 and 58. And the Holy Spirit was called God from John 4 and 24. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so the Bible does teach that there was one God from the Old Testament anew, and that God revealed himself as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's not blasphemy. That's the pure truth of God's word.
And as to a teaching that attends the teaching of the Trinity but is really at the heart and center of the Christian faith, what about the deity of Jesus Christ in the Nation of Islam? Is this a teaching that they accept or reject?
Well, this is a teaching that they reject. They say that Jesus was just an ordinary man like Orthodox Muslim. You know, the Orthodox Muslims go as far as saying that Jesus didn't even die on the cross. It was Judas Iscariot that died on the cross. And the Nation of Islam go as far as saying Jesus was just an ordinary man. He was a prophet, and that he was stabbed by a sheriff, a deputy sheriff, and that's how he died, and that the Christians concocted a lie that he claimed to be God when he was an ordinary man. And it's real interesting to me that in a 4-hour videotape of Louis Farrakhan, I call him Farrakhan because when they named him Farrakhan, they picked a good name because he's conning the people. But in 1994, he preached a 4-hour sermon, and it was on Easter, and he talked about the crucifixion of Jesus and the imprisonment of Minister Louis Farrakhan. And he goes on to say, Farrakhan discusses the crucifixion and relates it to himself, saying, "I am hanging on the cross now. I am on Calvary right now, and the more I suffer, the more our people are raised to consciousness. You don't have to look for Jesus. I represent him. I was born to die for you, and I love the thought of dying for you." So when they have the Savior's Day celebration, they refer to Farrakhan as the fulfillment of Isaiah 9 and 6, believe it or not. And then they also called Elijah Muhammad, who was the second leader of the Nation of Islam, as the Savior too. So they put Louis Farrakhan and Elijah Muhammad on the same level, if not higher than Jesus. And then they say there is no way that Jesus can match Wallace D. Fard because he was the true God. And that's what they teach.
So if they reject the Trinity, the deity of Christ, what does the Nation of Islam, very briefly here, make of the Holy Spirit?
Well, that's a good question. They look at the Holy Spirit as some type of spook, that he was not God in human form, but just a presence that was kind of like a spook or a ghost. And so they deny Jesus as God, and they deny the Holy Spirit as God. And Jesus, throughout the Bible, claimed to be God. I mean, you can just look at the Gospel of John throughout, and you see that he claimed to be God. One of the most profound scriptures on him being claiming to be God was John 8 and 58, when he says, "Before Abraham was, ego me, I am," quoted from Exodus 3 and 14. And when God says to Moses, Moses said to God, "When I go before the children of Israel, and they should say unto me, what is your name, what should I say?" And God said in Hebrew, "Ehayah Esher, Ehayah, I am that I am. That's what you shall say." So Jesus said those same things. And the Holy Spirit claimed to be God as well, because we see that he was equal to the Father, the Son, and you see in John 4 and 24, and we see also in Acts 5 and 3 and 4 that he is called a person because Ananias and Sapphira lied to the Holy Spirit, and then Peter ends up saying, you didn't lie unto man but God. So he's not a spook, and he's not a ghost, and he's not the wind like the Jehovah's Witnesses say, or a force, or some Star Wars feature. He is truly God. All three persons of the Trinity are the one God revealed in three eternal distinct persons.
With a minute and a half, Dr. Buckner, before we go to this break, we'll be taking phone calls on the other side of the break, by the way, at 1-800-730-2727. What is the appeal of the Nation of Islam, especially among young black men?
Well, that's a very good question. I could spend a whole 2 hours talking about this, but let me just try to put the cookies down on the bottom shelf for everybody to reach them and try to do a Reader's Digest condensation. The two biggest contributors to this black cult is that a vacuum that was not filled by the church. And so Elijah Muhammad and Wallace D. Ford and Elijah Muhammad came and filled that vacuum, and they also have a tremendous attraction because they address racism. And Farrakhan, even though he's a false teacher, he boldly speaks out on racism, and the church is impotent and silent and doesn't say too much. And especially, you know, the white church has been very silent when it comes to racism. And there are so many other things that I'd like to say on this, and I know we only have about less than a minute to go, but maybe when we come back I can say a few more things on it.
Dr. Jerry Buckner is our guest. He is pastor of Tiburon Christian Fellowship, adjunct professor at Golden Gate Baptist Seminary, and director of Contending for the Faith Ministries. He's authored this article in the Christian Research Journal titled Witnessing to the Nation of Islam. You can read it on our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. It's under the What's New section right there on the homepage. You'll find Witnessing to the Nation of Islam by our guest in this hour, Jerry Buckner, and some other resources on the Nation of Islam right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Now, when we come back from this break, we'll be taking your phone calls. If you're getting a busy signal at this point, please keep trying. We're going to be freeing up phone lines right on the other side. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. And if you don't want to wait during the busy signal, you want to email us instead. We'll get those emails here in the studio at issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. We'll be right back with your phone calls after this. Sound Christian theology is supposed to be learned, believed, and lived. Sound Christian theology is also supposed to be prayed. Our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April is a resource for your daily devotion in God's Word, a way to daily pray the theology that you have learned, believed, and live. It's called The Lord Will Answer, a Daily Prayer Catechism. For more information, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and look on the homepage. Or call Concordia Publishing House any weekday during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for April. The Lord Will Answer, a Daily Prayer Catechism. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. The Lord Will Answer, a Daily Prayer Catechism.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Todd Wilkin here again. I'm talking with Dr. Art Just of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Just, what makes Concordia Theological Seminary unique?
When you come onto our campus, the first thing you see, the thing that stands out architecturally, is our chapel. It stands at the highest point of our campus. And I think in many ways that is symbolic of what is most important at our seminary. We have a very rich worship life, and that's because our entire theology is centered in the fact that we believe that Christ's presence among us in word and sacrament as we gather together for worship is what forms future pastors into the kinds of caring shepherds that we hope that they can be. That that chapel extends into the classroom, and our classes are very rigorous in terms of their academics. But I think what strikes people when they come and visit our campus and see our students and visit our classes is how deeply pastoral our life is here, that our theology isn't just academic, it's real-life theology. We're interested in real life and theology that affects the people of this world who have real lives. The reason I think that, that's at the center of our life is because of the real presence of Christ. We believe in the real life of Christ being present among us. And our entire campus, in a sense, vibrates by that presence that comes out of the chapel in our worship life that it extends in every aspect of our life here. I think you can see that what is perhaps unique about our campus is that it is Christ-centered, and we are a place where people treat each other in a Christ-like way. So it's a campus that is really a delight to have worked in for 20 years and to be a part of, and I think everybody who comes here is always, as our president says, refreshed and renewed by the experience.
Tell us a little more about the worship life on campus there.
What we try to do in our chapel is to help our students come and receive the gifts that are from Christ's presence. We are first and foremost a worshiping community. But we also realize that as a seminary, we are a place that is a teaching chapel. So we are constantly aware of the fact that we are teaching our students about our worship life and modeling it to them and to the people who visit us. And so people who come to our campus always find that when they leave our chapel, that they have been transformed. They have been transformed because Christ has been there.
For more information about Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, visit them on the web, www.ctsfw.edu.
First and foremost is that they have a greater understanding of what it is to be Christian, and more importantly, what it is to be Lutheran in this day and age.
Pastor Scott Clems of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, talking about the goals for the young men who attend Christ Academy 2005.
Christ Academy allows high school men to become a full, equal partner in the life of the seminary for 2 weeks every June. They attend chapel 4 times a day with the student body and faculty and staff. They go to classes for 3 or 4 hours a day, regular classes taught by the seminary faculty and staff. They become tight as a community and join together in prayer and greater understanding of Lutheran theology.
For more information about Christ Academy 2005, call Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, 1-800-481-2155, or visit our website, issuesetc.org.
So I think that rather than condemning Islam, Islam needs to be studied by those who are sincere. Study it and see what is it in Islam that it changes us from an antisocial person, from a criminal, from a prostitute, from drug addiction, from wife beating, from a person that had no will to do something for self, into a self-reliant, self-respecting, self-loving, self-producing people.
That again, Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the Nation of Islam with Dr. Jerry Buckner, pastor of Tiburon Christian Fellowship, adjunct professor at Golden Gate Baptist Seminary, director of Contending for the Faith Ministries, and author of this article in the Christian Research Journal titled Witnessing to the Nation of Islam. Dr. Buckner, before we go on, it sounds so good, the things there that Minister Farrakhan had to say about the actual practical results of what the Nation of Islam brings about by way of changed lives, especially of those young black men. How do you respond to what you just heard?
Well, I tell you, I have to validate him for the tremendous work that he does with young black men. you know, and I think he's doing more in many ways than even some black churches are doing. But, you know, the Pharisees were, this is the setback, the Pharisees did a lot externally too, but Jesus ended up saying, you're full of dead man's bones because they appeared righteous outwardly, but inwardly they were as white as sepulchers, you know. So you can do all those things externally, but if your heart is not right with God and you don't have the right Jesus, you know, like Solomon said, there's a way that seemeth right unto the man, but the end thereof is the way of death. So, you know, the attractions is tremendous because, you know, they do a lot in adopting young black males, reaching out to them. They mentor them. They become surrogate fathers to them, and this has a tremendous attraction when you see 80% of most of the black churches composed of mainly black women, and then in the Nation of Islam you see 80% black males. You know, men attract men, and so the church needs to wake up to the reality that they got to reach out to the men. And so I do validate him for that, but you can't have half, three quarters of the package, you know. You got to have the full package if you're going to be right with God, and you got to know Jesus Christ, because you can have do all of those external things, and I validate him for them. But you can't get people in heaven because you do a lot of good things for black men. If you do all those good things for black men and then don't give them Jesus, they're going to go straight to hell. So what does it profit a man to gain the whole world, as Jesus said, and then lose his soul?
Let's go to the phones. Haji is up first listening in Seattle. He listens on KGNW. Haji, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Thank you. I was just listening to the gentleman speaking about Jesus Christ. You know, I grew up in a Catholic family. I converted to the Muslim religion back in the late 60s. And, you know, there are still a great deal of black America who has the slave mentality of misconceiving the idea of Jesus' role in terms of the black man and the knowledge of Jesus and Muslims believing in Jesus. We believe in the Quran. There's a whole article in the Quran about Prophet. We call him in Arabic Isa al-Maryam. And you're not a Muslim unless you believe in Prophet Isa or Jesus. That's just an inevitable factor in the Muslim religion. But it's a fact that we do not get hyped up on. He's not the overall overseer of what the faith is about, because Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, is the one who came with that seal.
Haji, before we have Dr. Buckner's response, if you don't mind, are you do you consider yourself a Muslim or a member of the Nation of Islam? Which is
I grew up under the Nation of Islam during Elijah Muhammad's time, and prior I went to Savior's Day once. I met him before he passed away, and you know, I was a member of the Nation of Islam at that time, but I've become an older man. I've traveled. I've been to Mecca and all those other things. And I just consider myself a Sunni Muslim. I believe in Allah. I believe in the Quran. I believe in the hereafter. And I believe in doing good to your fellow man. And, you know, I pray that Allah bless America to understand Islam, because it's actually a blessing in disguise in reference to a lot of people's interpretation of what, you know, the truth from the lie.
Haji, hang on there for a moment, if you would. Dr. Buckner, your first response to Haji's comment there.
Well, let me just say this, Todd. I want to validate Haji for his respectful call as well as his respectful response, and so I appreciate him doing that. And I just want to say this to Haji, that when I look at the Word of God, the Word of God teaches regarding Jesus Christ. He said that in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said he is the way to the Father, and there is no other way. The scriptures is very clear in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus made it very clear through Jude and Jude 3, the faith has been once and for all delivered unto the saints. And so you don't have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 saviors according to Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And see, you don't believe that Jesus claimed to be God and the only Savior of the world, but the Bible teaches that, see? And so you can't believe in the Quran and the Bible too, because they disagree with each other. And you can't believe in Muhammad and Jesus at the same time, because Jesus disagrees with Muhammad, and Muhammad disagrees with Jesus too.
Haji, your quick response.
There's a saying, you know, woe to those who have ears and they hear not, and eyes who see not. Okay, you have to understand that a great deal of the blissful ignorance of the nation that's under the mentality of Jesus being God and all this other madness. This is sheer total madness. Allah is so, the greatness that Allah speaks about in the Quran is beyond, it's beyond the concept, the human idea of conceiving a God of his greatness. Even God himself doesn't have the power to come down as a human being.
All right, thank you, Haji. Thank you. Dr. Buckner, I guess we can have what Haji said before confirmed, in that he finds the idea of God coming down in human form in the person of Jesus Christ. It sounds like he finds it repugnant. Your response there with a minute or so.
Well, that's a very good point, Todd. I always respond to the Muslim by saying this. We don't try to emphasize as much the word deification as we do incarnation. And when we look in the Old Testament, all of the Muslims, the Orthodox Muslims, as well as the Nation of Islam, believe that God appeared at one time in a burning bush and to Moses. Well, if God can appear in a burning bush, well, God can also appear in a human body, and that's what the Bible teaches. And if we don't believe that he's God in human form, we better really take into consideration John 8:24. Jesus 7 times talked about the I am in relationship to salvation. 23 times he talked about the I am in relationship to him being God. So he says in John 8:24, if you believe not that I am he, you will die in your sins.
Dr. Jerry Buckner is our guest. We're talking about the Nation of Islam. At the very heart and center of the Christian faith is what we've been talking about and discussing here with this first caller, Haji, and that is, who is Jesus Christ? And Dr. Buckner has rightly pointed out that one cannot say, oh, he was a great prophet, but disregard what that prophet himself said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If he is such a great prophet, then even those words ought to be regarded as truthful, and if they are not truthful, he is no great prophet. He is, in fact, nothing but a liar. So we take Jesus at his word. This stands at the heart and center of the Christian faith, or anything that claims to be Christian. Our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, is called The Lord Will Answer. When one prays to God in the name of Jesus, one is gaining access to the God of the universe, the Father of all, via his Son, Jesus Christ, who revealed himself in death and resurrection there at the cross in the empty tomb. And this is how the Christian ought to pray. This is one of the things that, by way of discipline, our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, is very good at. It is a daily prayer catechism, a day-by-day devotion. If you'd like more information, you can order The Lord Will Answer, our Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, by calling Concordia Publishing House any weekday, 1-800-325-3040. It's $14.99 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can browse before you buy at our website. Look for the Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, The Lord Will Answer, a daily prayer catechism, right there on our homepage, issuesetc.org. When you order, The Lord Will Answer, mention that you heard it on Issues, Etc., 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org. We're discussing the Nation of Islam. When we come back, more of your phone calls on that subject. Dr. Jerry Buckner is our guest, pastor of Tiburon Christian Fellowship, adjunct professor of Golden Gate Baptist Seminary, director of Contending for the Faith Ministries, and author of an article in the Christian Research Journal titled Witnessing to the Nation of Islam. Our call-in numbers again, and You'll still be getting a busy signal, but keep trying. 1-800-730-2727, or use our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you noticed how Sunday morning church has become more like the Oprah Winfrey Show? Pews filled with mostly women, music focused on subjective feelings rather than objective truths, preaching that sounds more like therapy than theology, and pastors who are afraid to take a stand. Is there still a place for real men in the church? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin, inviting you to visit Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, check out their website, www.ctsfw.edu, or call Concordia Theological Seminary at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155. Real men attend Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, www.ctsfw.edu, or 1-800-481-2155. To find out how to contact our guest in this hour, Dr. Jerry Buckner and Contending for the Faith Ministries, or to help Issues Etc. defend the faith and teach the truth by making a tax-deductible gift to our outreach, call our resource line number 1-800-737-0172. It's 1-800-737-0172. Or you can write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The address again, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Let's go to Maryland and talk to Sam, who listens on WAVA. Sam, welcome to Issues Etc.
How you doing?
Very well.
I've heard quite a few speakers in the Nation of Islam, and it's a pretty incredibly racist group. But I was wondering what do they have to offer? Christianity has a plan of salvation, basically, if you admit your sinfulness before God and you repent and you ask Christ to save you, you're saved. But what does the Nation of Islam teach? Do they have a heaven, and what is their plan for salvation?
It's a great question, Sam. Thank you. Dr. Buckner.
Well, that's a very good question, Sam. This is basically what they teach regarding heaven and hell. Members of the Nation of Islam do not believe in a hereafter. Whether it be heaven or hell, they have no answer to either or. There is no hope beyond the grave. There is no justice in the sweet by and by immortality, but now. So everything is emphasized now. So the Nation of Islam does not believe in a heaven or a hell. They only say that there is hell here on earth. And I think Malcolm X one time said it well. He says the best thing that's going to happen to him, before he dies, is that he sucked on a lollipop. And he said that's going to be like the greatest thing that ever happens to him before he dies. The only one that really is living in immortality right now is Elijah Muhammad, flying around somewhere on some planet somewhere on a flying saucer. But the rest of them have no hope beyond the grave. And I tell you, that's a real good place to start in terms of witnessing, because we as Christians, we have hope beyond the grave. And Paul says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And we know that when we leave this planet, Paul says as well, being led by the Holy Spirit, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. No member of the Nation of Islam can say that.
Now, to clarify on the whole question of salvation, it sounds then as though they don't really have anything comparable to a Christian view of salvation. Is man considered to be born innately sinful, in need of a Savior for that reason?
Well, addressing the issue of salvation, that Brother Sam, is that they believe that they are born in a world where they are black gods who are righteous by nature, and that they are righteous by nature, born into a world through the tribe of Shabazz. And they believe that every other person outside of the nation of Islam, especially the white men, is sinners by nature, and that there are devils by nature, and that the white man can never change. So they believe that salvation comes through Wallace D. Ford, through the message of Elijah Muhammad, and they believe and they are taught, because they have black skin and they were born black, that that is a sanctification to their righteousness, and that they are righteous by nature. That's what they believe regarding salvation. And as far as Jesus Christ dying on the cross and we getting salvation through that, no, Jesus never died on the cross. He was killed by a deputy sheriff and stabbed in the heart and fell down dead, and this Christians just concocted a lie about him dying on the cross and coming back alive.
Now to Milwaukee on WRRD. Chad, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hello.
Hi, Chad.
How you doing? Well, I just want to ask in regards to the black man about Louis Farrakhan, what have he done since the Million Man March for black people?
All right. Thank you very much, Chad. What's the track record after the famous and for many people considered kind of his public coming out for Louis Farrakhan since that Million Man March back in the 90s?
Well, that's a very good question. Really, he hasn't done too much. I mean, you know, he had that prostate cancer and he's kind of like taking it slow. And the Million Man March was sponsored, a lot of it was sponsored by Sun Myung Moon, who's another cult leader, because he had so much money, and they worked together on that project and some other things, too. But he has really kind of settled down, and kind of because of his sickness, as well as he's trying to blend in to the mainstream Christian group so he can, attract them to the Nation of Islam. So you don't hear him really going forth lambashing the white man and saying the white man is this and that, you know, we need to separate ourselves from them and on and on. He basically talks as if he's like a Christian now, you know, and that I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus, and on and on and on, because he knows if he talks like that and redefines the Jesus of the Bible, that people will be attracted to him and duped by him. So he really hasn't done that much because he's a very sick and ill man, and we just can't imagine how sick he is.
1-800-730-2727. Time for one more quick phone call in this hour. Tim's calling from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. WEMI is his station. Tim, welcome.
Is there a restriction to people who join Islam that to race or nation or ethnic origin?
Well, that's a very good question. It depends on which group you're talking about. A lot of people don't know this, but there are many different types of sect of the Nation of Islam. It's not just Louis Farrakhan's group. Let me kind of just go through a list for you real quick, and then I'm going to kind of bring out a point. There is, number one, the Moore Science Temple. This is founded by Noble Drew Ali. There's also the Nation of Islam, best known and the largest sect, led by Louis Farrakhan. There's also what is known as the WCIW, the World Community of Islam in the West. This is led by Wallace Dean Muhammad, the son of Elijah Muhammad, and he follows the Sunni sect of Orthodox Islam. So he, changed his name to Warth. He joined Louis Farrakhan after his father's death, but later rebelled to form his own group. And so he allows all different ethnic groups into the mosque, his mosque, and this was his rebellion against his father. You have the Hanafis, that's a Nubian Islamic Hebrews, broke away from Elijah Muhammad to follow the Sunni sect. You have the Lost Found Nation of Islam, led by Silas Muhammad. And then you have the Nation of Islam. They claim to be the original. This is led by John Muhammad, the brother of Elijah Muhammad. And then you have the United Nation of Islam, founded by Solomon. He calls himself the Almighty God in person. And then the last one you have, and this is eight groups in all, you have the Five Percenters, and this was founded by Clarence the 13th. He broke off from Elijah Muhammad to form his own group and follows the old teachings of the Nation of Islam, Clarence 13th, and it was killed in Harlem, New York. And some felt that Elijah Muhammad was behind that, along with the killing of Malcolm X, too.
Folks, we're coming to you live this Sunday night. It's April the 10th. We will continue to take your phone calls on the Nation of Islam with Dr. Jerry Buckner in the next hour of the program. Call us for this next hour, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727. The best callers in the next hour will receive a copy of the book, Is the Father of Jesus the God of Muhammad? 1-800-730-2727, or email us at issuesetc@kfuo.org. Be sure to tune in live in the next hour on the Internet, right there at our webpage, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Click the Listen Online link, and you'll be able to listen to the entire next hour and your phone calls with Dr. Jerry Buckner. Call during this break, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. There are all sorts of errors. The error of Islam is deep and dark enough, rejecting who God truly is, substituting a God of Muhammad's own imagination, but then to be one step removed from even the darkness of that error into one that meanders off into racism and odd ideas about the origins of race and the significance of race, all flying in the face of the one Savior of all men, the one blood that was shed for all men to save all men from our one common problem, our sin, our inbred sin from our first parents. The truth of the gospel shines brightly in contrast to the darkness of those errors, and that gospel is in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Your phone calls, your emails for the next hour, 1-800-730-2727. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117.